Hello again. It's Pastor Bob. And this is your 21st Jesus story in our 24 story excursion through the Story Bible by Pearl Buck. Well, yesterday we finished our 20th story, the betrayal. And now we're on to the trial. And we'll start that today and probably finish it, hopefully tomorrow, but maybe not. Might carry it over the weekend. Let's see how we do here. This is the 21st story. Let's center ourselves. And let the Holy Spirit lead us through this today. The trial. The death sentence had been passed by the Council of the Jews. And now all that remained to be done was to obtain the official approval of their Roman ruler. A great company of people led Jesus to Pontius Pilate, procurator of Judea, for final judgment. High priests and chief Pharisees took up the lead. Behind them came the false witnesses who had spoken against him, various hirelings who had been persuaded to shout abuse against the man whom others called King of the Jews, and numbers of people who had little understanding of what was happening, but had been attracted by the crowd. In the midst of all was Jesus, still bound and pushed along by soldiers who did not care what he had done, but knew that he must not escape. Pontius Pilate came out into the courtyard of his palace and stared at the multitude. There were high priests there, he saw, and elders of the people, and many others whom he did not know. And in the midst of all, there stood a man who clearly was their prisoner. The man's wrists were tightly tied together, his simple robe was soiled, and he had evidently been beaten without mercy. Yet, he seemed serene and unafraid. Early though it was, Pilate was ready to listen to their case. It must surely be important, or they would not have come at this hour, least of all with their high priests in the lead, looking both outraged and triumphant. What accusations do you bring against this man? Asked Pilate. He is an evildoer, Caiaphas and Annas answered him, or we would not have brought him to you. He has been corrupting our nation, forbidding people to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he is Christ, King of the Jews. Now, in saying this, they were not bringing up their own charge of blasphemy, for they knew that Pontius Pilate had no interest in their religious laws. But they were sure he would be interested in a Jew who claimed to be a king and refused the tribute to Caesar, for this was treason against the Roman rulers. Yet they had not read Pilate as accurately as they thought. The Roman ruler caught the phrase, King of the Jews, and decided at once that this was a Jewish religious question, and therefore none of his concern. Then try him yourselves, said Pilate, and judge him according to your own law. We have tried him, they answered, but we have no authority to put any man to death. Pilate knew that very well, but he had not expected them to ask the death sentence. He looked again at the captive Jesus and saw a most unlikely looking king and a most unlikely looking criminal. And as he looked, the chief priests and the elders shouted accusations against the prisoner, accusing him of many things. Yet the prisoner himself said nothing. Pilate found this very strange, for he had seen many prisoners before, and they had always been vigorous in their own defense. Do you have no answer for them? Pilate said to Jesus, do you not hear how many things they charge you with? But Jesus made no answer to any of the accusations. He only stood there, dignified and calm. So calm that Pilate marveled greatly, turned away and went back into his palace. For he knew nothing of this prisoner and realized he would find out nothing while the mob was screaming accusations in the courtyard. From the judgment hall of his palace, he there sent for Jesus. Jesus came in and stood before him, still bound, still unafraid. And Pilate, the governor, asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews? Do you ask me this because you think it yourself," said Jesus, "or have others told you this about me?" "Am I a Jew?" answered Pilate. "Your own people and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done? Do they accuse you rightly?" For he wanted to know if Jesus really claimed to be their king. "My kingdom is not of this world," Jesus answered. "If it were, my men would have fought to keep me from being delivered into the hands of the Jews. No, my kingdom is not here on earth." "Then you are a king?" said Pilate. "You say rightly, I am a king," Jesus answered. "It was for this that I was born, and for this that I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is on the side of truth listens to my voice." Pilate stared at him. "What is truth?" he asked. With these words, he arose and strode out into the courtyard once again to face the Jews. He had heard all he needed to hear. Jesus had said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And to Pilate, that did not sound like treason against the Roman emperor. "I find no fault in this man," he said. The priests were thunderstruck that Pilate should have found Jesus innocent. Mutterings broke out in the crowd they had gathered to lend weight to their false cause, and the priests themselves became increasingly urgent in their demands. "He is stirring up the people," they cried fiercely. "He has been teaching his radical doctrines throughout all Judea, beginning in Galilee, going all over the countryside, and even coming here to Jerusalem." "Oh," said Pilate, "Galilee? Is this man a Galilean?" "Yes, he is from Nazareth." "Ah," Pilate was glad to hear it. The whole affair was becoming a nuisance to him. If this Jesus was a Galilean, he came under Herod's jurisdiction, and Herod could take care of his own. So Pilate sent Jesus and his accusers to Herod Antipas, who also happened to be in Jerusalem at that time because of the festival. Now, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had long been interested in seeing this man. He had lost his earlier desire to send out soldiers to seize him, for by all accounts, the man Jesus was not John the Baptist risen again, nor had he spoken out against Herod, as had John. Nevertheless, Herod had heard many extraordinary things about the Nazarene, and he was most anxious to see some miracle performed by him. Therefore, he greeted Jesus with enthusiasm, though without cordiality, and questioned him at length. But Jesus gave no answer to Herod's questions, nor any sign of his miraculous powers. And Herod was soon tired of him. This was poor sport indeed. He let the chief priests and scribes have their turn to speak, and they were only too willing. Vehemently, they accused Jesus of inciting rebellion among the people, of refusing to pay tribute to Caesar, of claiming to be the Messiah, the King of the Jews. But Herod was not interested. He had only wanted to see signs, and he had seen none. Certainly he could see no evidence of treason. And obviously, the man was no threat either to the Romans or to Herod himself. The only thing that caught the Tetrarch's interest was that this quiet man before him could claim to be the king of Israel or the king of the Jews. And that in itself was Judea's problem, not Herod's. Still, it was an amusing thought, and Herod smiled. A king was he. And Herod laughed as he struck upon an idea that entertained him greatly. At least he would have some enjoyment from all this. And that's the end of our story today. It's the first part of the trial from the Story Bible. We'll be back tomorrow on Friday with the continuation of this trial. Remember, tomorrow is Free Friday Market Day in Arthur, so help us out in any way and every way you can. And until then, have a blessed Thursday and walk in the path of the light.